billing in compliance with that. I would like to have everyone introduce themselves like we traditionally do, and we'll start at the head table here, go around, and we'll go through the audience, just say who you are and who you're with.
Mike Sexton, Oklahoma Department of Commerce.
Kathy Hines, Center for Special Analysis.
Anne Marie Waugh, Southwestern Oklahoma Development Authority.
Andre Cruz, Department of Wildlife Conservation.
Kim Carter, Oklahoma Office of Homeland Security.
Mike Sharp, Conservation Commission.
Wayne Patterson, Garfield County Assessor.
James Weber, Oklahoma Geological Survey.
Jeff Spell, Oklahoma Tax Commission.
David Belon, Oklahoma Department of Agriculture and Forestry.
Steve Stadler, State Geographer of Oklahoma.
Amy Britton, Department of Environmental Quality.
Troy Frazier, Oklahoma Tax Commission.
Dan House, Oklahoma Biological Survey.
Shelley Willoughby, Office of Geographic Information.
Stacia Canada, ESRI.
Greg Langford, Joint Force Headquarters, Oklahoma Guard.
Lynetta Long, OSBI, and Oklahoma Information Fusion Center.
Joyce Green, City of Norman.
Charles Brady, City of Ardmore.
Candace Cunningham, Water Division, Oklahoma Conservation Commission.
Adam Milligan, Bureau of Reclamation.
Bob Blazing, Bureau of Reclamation.
Jared Smith, USGS.
Christy Patterson, City of Edmond.
Ian Peoples, City of Edmond.
Wes Morrison, State Health Department.
Pam Turney, Red Plains Professional.
Darrell Williams, U.S. Geological Survey.
Gail Hedgecock, State County Assessor.
Alicia Leslie, Utah, Oklahoma.
Mitch Antle, Washington County, Oklahoma.
Michael Panaro, ESRI. Jeff Wallace, Office of Accountability.
Miriam McGough, State Health Department.
Chris Fetch, State Health Department.
Ray Biker, Mental Health and Substance Abuse Services.
Okay, well, thanks everyone for being here. We do have a sign-in sheet over here. If you, in case you missed that, we'll get your name on there, and we'll keep you up to date on council activities and other bailouts that we might have. If you would, please join with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please proceed. Okay, we have a quorum present today, so we'll proceed with any approval of the items. If you so choose, the minutes have been circulated from our June meeting. Is there any comments, corrections to the minutes? If not, I'd entertain a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Hearing any discussion? Hearing none, those in favor to adopt the minutes as printed, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Thank you. Minutes have been approved. Committee reports. We've got a couple of committees outstanding working now. We have three of those. Dan, you want to bring us up on the plan cover?
Sure. We had spent summer trying to find a time to meet together, and it's been quite a challenge, but we did have a short meeting on August 3rd where not a whole lot of people were able to show up, but we made a little bit of progress there. We've scheduled our next meeting in conjunction with this, so we're going to meet this afternoon here, and hopefully we'll get more people to show up. One thing we did do over the summer is we did present a poster at the Ecological Society of America meetings, and I brought a draft of that, and it's on the table up there. It doesn't really fit very well, but you're all welcome to look at it, kind of get an idea of where we think we're heading anyway. So hopefully we'll have another meeting this afternoon and keep making progress.
Well, thanks, Dan. Amy, you have anything you want to?
Yeah, this is the environmental GIS work group that we spent the summer trying to meet also and didn't work out. So our next meeting is scheduled for September 28th.
From 10 to 11 at the DQ Oklahoma City office on the 10th floor.
So anybody's interested,
invite. Primarily talking about water issues, right?
Yeah, I think that's what we're
going to
focus on first.
Mm-hmm. September 28th.
Okay, and Chili, other jobs?
We're still working on it. We have met with the OPM and ODOT and worked through some of the issues that we had with the job description. One of the things that we had to work with is that we were dropping one of the manager levels. So we'll only have two manager levels instead of three. That was kind of the agreement between the group. So once these do get passed, we'll have three levels with the technician, the specialist, and two levels for the manager. Right now, OPM is putting that through internal review Once that is done, they will send it out. They have a list of questions that they send to certain agencies. Those will have to be sent out once they get back, and they're reviewed internally again. Then they'll go in for open meeting. And that was actually, the open meeting is the last stage, and that's where we got kind of hung up last time. And so we had to start over at a certain point again. So we're hoping once we make it to open meeting this time, we'll be able to make it through. So Millicent Rosen from OPM is very willing to work with us. She's trying to get us, help us get this passed. She realizes what we've been through and is really eager to help us to get this finalized. So I think we see the light at the end of the tunnel again, and hopefully before long we can actually have these implemented.
Yeah, the light's starting to get a little brighter now, so it's a good deal. Anybody have any questions of any of the... Okay, moving on, next item on the agenda, it's that time of year again when we need to turn in a budget request, and this budget goes in as part of the Conservation Commission's budget as part of their request. So I've circulated a proposal around to members, and we'll be open for any discussion on that. It's kind of a basic budget. You know, last year we did a pretty minimal budget. We did increase it a little bit this year as far as staffing level. But again, it's, you get down to it, it's really a placeholder to have a place in the budget so that whenever you get someone that wants to actually talk to you about it, it would look like the possibility of funding, you have something to start with. Again, this year is going to probably be another tight budget year. So. Someone will see the need and find some funds, but there's a lot of other critical needs out there in the state as well. So, anyway.
Yeah, on the FY 12, 13, it looks like, am I reading that right? We only have 8%.
Yeah, we just put 8/10 of an FTE on that. Just to, yeah. Well, last year we went with half an FTE.
And also, with the new state office. Technology and all that. Has, we talked about
it. Yeah, Shelly and I went over and talked with Mr. Pettit about a week or two ago on this. He's very supportive of GIS. In fact, he said GIS is one of his passions. And we're going to have an opportunity to hear him at our next meeting, which will be November the 5th. He's going to come here and talk to us. Looking forward to hearing what he has to say about GIS. There are none, I entertain a motion to submit this to the Office of State Finance. Motion been made. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Motion been made and seconded. Any discussions?
So, if I understand this right, this is simply a placeholder. It was the Conservation Commission's budget, but that's essentially, you don't actually get any.
We haven't got any in the past.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's always been a dead issue when it goes across the street. But, we'll see where it goes this year. The key is having a champion in the legislature, and we haven't quite been able to find one of those since Clay Pope left and got us where we are today.
But Bill King spoke to us a group that law enforcement GIS that we
Representative Murphy. Yes, and we're planning on some meetings with him later this fall. We'll see what his idea is of funding some of this. So, hearing no more discussion, those in favor of the budget, please say aye.
Aye.
I suppose same side. Thank you. We'll get that submitted. Okay, now on to the highlight for today, Troy. Troy Frazier's here with the Tax Commission, and he's going to show us some of the work he's been doing on developing viewers for the assessors. And Troy, we will hand it over to you.
Thank you.
Okay. One of the things that we do with the county assessors is try to do our best to help them with their mapping. And one of the things that's been out there for a while is internet mapping, where you'll take a program from a vendor and put it on one machine and share it with everyone else in the office, maybe out in the real world. This is our attempt to help them with that with something a little bit cheaper. Map Server was originally developed by the University of Minnesota with NASA grant money. So this is a program that was already paid, that's been paid for by the taxpayers. We've already paid for it. Over the course of time, it's found different homes. But right now, it's being supported as an open source type software by the OSGeo, which they currently have about 20 developers working and maintaining this program. There's yearly, quarterly updates to it. There's bug reporting, bug fixing, updates. It's a very interactive community. A lot of support with this software. Currently, we're using a version that's about a couple years old, but it works fine. When I first started the Tax Commission, the state had just finally received all of the 1995 DOQQs and county mosaics. So the thing is, here we've got these nice looking aerial photos, and we've got this mapping. At this point, most counties were mapping in a DOS GIS system called MIMS. Didn't allow for any video background, any imagery. It's just straight line work and dot work. Others were using some sort of CAD software. So fortunately, ESRI had a product out there called ArcExplorer 2. Free, that they would allow you to distribute as much as you wanted to, which would allow you to actually take the mapping that was being done in these other programs and overlay it on top of the aerial photos. This was neat when I was able to walk into an office and do this, because in most cases, no one in that county had ever seen such a thing as their actual mapping that they were doing on a daily basis being superimposed on top of aerial photos. Well, as time went along, we noticed with the 2003 color aerial photos from FSA and RCS and the counties that ArcExplorer doesn't print color too well, not natively. It does some false coloring and the pictures look all grainy and pretty bad. You can get around it by copying out the image and pasting it into Word and then printing it through Word. But that was kind of cumbersome. But that's the approach that we taught the counties. Then the 2005s came out. Mr. said generation, third generation photos. ArcExplorer 2 can't read it. So now what? And let's face it, the 2004s weren't very pretty to look at anyways, but the 2005s, we weren't able to bring them in, so we looked for something else. And during this time, the SRI had moved from the free standalone program to internet-based solutions. But at the time, most of the counties didn't have reliable internet access. Definitely not high-speed internet access. So we did not look at that as an option. Well, later we found Tatuk GIS. Tatuk GIS is a company out of Poland, funded with American business money. They've got a pretty impressive product suite. Their etching program costs about half of what ArcView does, about $500. The thing is that even though everything's fairly powerful, it's not very intuitive. The Tatuk viewer, which is free, was handy. You could look at the new color aerial photos. It would print in true color. You could halo, something the old ArcExplorer couldn't do. The database searches were pretty horrible, though. Basically, you had to bring up a spreadsheet, then take the column of the field that you wanted and put it up there, then sort it, do some weird searches. It was not very intuitive at all. And only a couple of counties really got familiar with this. Now, the counties that do have it love it because they're used to it. But it just wasn't a workable solution for most counties across the state. And the measuring, that was a problem. The aerial photos were in UTM. Tatuk could reproject anything else, but aerial photos had to remain in their native projection.
So you were stuck with measuring in meters and square meters, which didn't do anyone much good. Map server, we ran across it just surfing the web a few years ago. Looked at it, pulled hair out. This auto work, didn't work, left it alone. About a year ago, got a pure frustration, hit it again, thing works. I don't know the difference, I just woke up in a better mood or something, I guess. So there's just a static screenshot of the current version that we're currently using. We had a version before this that was much more simple. It didn't have the fancy buttons and stuff, but it was straight HTML language, which means there weren't any problem with any browser settings or anything else. This is in Java enabled. It's got a lot of Java in it. So sometimes that can be an issue with certain browsers and security set up on those browsers. Out of the entire program, all of it is centrally based on whatever computer you have it installed in and used as a hosting computer, except for a few links. The top two there, back to us and to the University of Minnesota's website where they have all their licensing information on it. Also, the buttons for Google and Yahoo and MapQuest are there too. One of our partners in supporting the assessors now resides inside of OSU, inside of the Center for Local Government Technology. They've got an administrative package that actually compiles the tax roll and sends it to the treasurer's offices. Well, they love to use Google Map, and it's all right, but because they like it, I put that up there along with the other two. Whatever point you're centered in on the map, you click on that button, it'll take you to the responding point in either one of those three platforms. But outside of those first two links to us and to University of Minnesota, and these three links to Google, Yahoo, and MapQuest, nothing else is actually going out to the internet. It's all based inside the office. And the tools are pretty self-explanatory, very simple tools. The only thing neat with this is the set scale. You don't have to mathematically multiply your feet by 12 to get the scale that you want. Just type in the feet per inch. Want 300 feet per inch, just type in 300. You have to do 3600. Results pages, pretty simplistic. And the thing isn't to have something really extravagant, but to have something that can be used fairly easily, pretty intuitively. And guess what? There's no licensing cost to this thing, which is advantageous when we're looking at 60 or so counties that may be wanting it that don't have something already in place. No licensing cost whatsoever. Plus you can measure and stuff like that. That's where some of the Java stuff came in. Again, you can measure areas too. You can do searches. These searches can be customized by county. We've got one county, Kate County, who wanted to be able to search by subdivision, so we added a subdivision search up there besides just your city, section, street address or situs address, and a parcel ID number. With the searching, you can't be multi-leveled. So for the street address search, you search by just the street name first. Then you can look for the street number and direction and stuff like that. On the street address search, you get a laundry list of every street in that county that has that name that you can look through and find the one that you want. This is the most clumsy part of the operation. Everything else is very intuitive, very quick. And again, get the results. Go back to your main map. Thing is with Map Server, and the reason we like it is that, number one, it's free. We love that. Number two, it's customizable, so we can make it match what we need. It's pretty easy to distribute. This laptop from the Water Resources Board didn't have any of this on it 20 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago. Now it does. Now it is running as a host machine for Greer County. See that in just a second.
And say the biggest issue we have with some of the counties is they're still using MIMS, which MIMS can export out their stuff as DXF, but MAP server doesn't like DXF, but we've got a couple of ways around that as well. So any questions up to this point? It's a big thing I like is free. I love free, especially in this budget.
So they're actually installing MAP server locally on their own computer, on their own network?
Yes.
Using it right there as their mapping?
To view with, yes. Although MAP server does have the ability to edit, it's just digging more into that and adding that functionality. Right now, the code is about 4 or 5 pages long, so it's just adding more stuff to it. What was that function again?
Full screen.
F11.
Okay.
Okay.
You went to the side.
Yeah. Okay. The thing is that this program is designed primarily to be as simple as possible. So every layout is made to print as a full page. You just go to your browser and print, it's going to fill that page. You don't have to worry about anything fancy or funky about it, it's just going to fill that page. Be much longer than it is wide because most printouts are portrait, most by default on your printers. But it's really simple. You get the planet, you get the whole county or whatever your extent is. You got your pan button or your recenter, works just like any other. Your zoom in works the same, just click and drag, and that's the default function of the map. It's already highlighted. Just click and drag over your area, it zooms into it. Little message up here, map is buildings. For those that aren't patient, it does tell you that it is working. Zoom out is just a fixed extended one, goes out one time. Identify is hard-coded to give you the results of whatever parcel you click on. Again, that's specific for the county assessor's offices. And we can bring in whatever associated data that is attached if we want to. Like in this case, we've got owner name, address, fair cash values, and acreage. And this is just a screwy scientific notation that's 154.8 acres. And latitude and longitude of the center of the parcel for those that really don't like their neighbor and want to hit them with a cruise missile. All that's right there. You're measuring. Just click on the tool. Click. Scroll down to the bottom, there's your length. Area's about the same, you just trace around the area that you want. And there's your acreage. So in a little bit closer to the courthouse here in Mangum. Interesting thing is this flight was taken while they had some sort of celebration going on downtown. There's tents and everything all down here, all around the courthouse. This is a 2010 photo. I wonder how recent the Google one is. Takes you to the same area. Well, those aren't the 2010s, 2008s. Quite often, you'll find these will be the 2003s in the rural part of the state. which is all right. I mean, you know, of course, you don't have any indication of that outside of the 2010 copyright by Google. But hey, some folks are really attached to Google or Yahoo or MapQuest, so that's fine. I said, I'll just put it there for kicks and grins. City name, just type in the city that you want. It's not case sensitive. Hit enter or hit the search button, whichever your choice is, it'll take you to that particular town or city. All the layers come on based on scale. So as you zoom in, more things turn on. As you zoom out, more things turn off automatically. You don't have to worry about a laundry list of layers to take care of. In some ways, you know, those that are doing GIS professionally are going to want more control, but just for the average person in the office, it's not going to really get them that wound up. See, I had to take off most of the real photos of the transfer, but I think the O3s are here. Let's see. That's something handy too, is you can go through and just however whatever area you want to look at is you can go to instead of being stuck with whatever happens to be on the browser. Again, for a free program, you can get all your photo history. We've got, well, we're on year 7 for photography now. That's a lot of history for the last 15 years that you can look at just by changing your year. Then of course we got a PDF document for the health file.
Can I ask a question real quick?
Yes, you may.
This is not what is on the Oklahoma Tax Assessor's website, right? This is not what y'all's system runs on?
We don't actually have a system out to the public. We're working in conjunction with OU, and OU's got the data warehouse viewer. That's actually written in the same language with Map Server currently. But we don't actually host a mapping website ourselves. Our IT folks wouldn't stand for it.
But somebody does, because I've used it.
Well, I think she
so is that the link? Does it link to OU?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And that's built on Map Server as well.
Okay,
currently.
So you can basically customize the interface to however you want it to look for your public.
Yes.
So how much out-of-the-box programming do you have to do to get it up and running on the internet?
Well, the nice thing is you don't have to have any fancy software to do this with outside of the installation package for the system itself. You can edit the files with just Notepad, the setup files. Like parcel HTML. Then it's just a matter of how familiar you are with HTML, and in this case, Java. I'm not very familiar, but I can cut and paste and modify. So I've been able to put this together over the course of time. And like this one right here, it's very simplistic. It's got a reference to a house picture. If we had house pictures, we'd bring those up. It's got references to the tabular data attached to the shapefile. So you can change the fields that you want to display on the results, this being a results screen. It's just how familiar you are with HTML or be willing to experiment with HTML. Map Server has done a fairly good job of giving a lot of project examples out there on the internet. That's basically what I did, is I took existing projects, customized it to my data, and customized it how I wanted it to look. And took probably a couple months to get the first one up and running, probably another month to customize it for the second version that we're currently using. The most long-winded of these HTML files is the county mapper here. The reason for that is about the first half of it is code that I borrowed from Wikipedia that allows me to convert from a UTM to Latin Long. That function is built into the basic map server, but when you go to the Java version, we can do measuring and dynamic zooming and stuff like that. That particular feature doesn't work. They may fix it in the next update if they see that it's an issue.
But you know, I just cut and paste the code from different sources. Some of this stuff's pretty long-winded, but it can be done. As far as the setup files for the actual maps themselves, again, they're just text files. And you know, if you're familiar at all with GIS, you can actually read this. You know, here's the map extents, units, projection information, some symbology for the highways and such. Then you get into the actual layers themselves. It's not horribly Greek. If you have an example, you see it working, it's pretty easy to customize.
Troy, you're setting most of this up for the counties themselves, right? They're not having to do a lot of things other than have you come out and sit with them and put this into this program for them.
That's correct. And the thing is that I wouldn't expect anyone working in an assessor's office of a staff, you know, anywhere from 3 to 8, that would have any sort of expertise in HTML programming or even in really in networking in general. So I go to the office and I set them up and get them running. The only real exception to that was Lincoln County. And they have got a guy who's pretty darn sharp that we would love to have ourselves, but we can't afford him. Get that website right quick. I just emailed him the code and told him where to go to get the base module that he'd have to install on his machine from the University of Minnesota website. And then gave him my setup files, and then he simply just installed it into his website. So we're actually hitting Lincoln County server live right now with theirs. And this is the first version. It was pretty clunky, as you can tell, but it was straight HTML. You can dynamically zoom, but you can still do your searches, everything else. And the speed wasn't that bad. Again, this is totally remotely here off of Lincoln County's server. Another feature that he added, which is pretty handy, is if you just wanted to do a tabular search. Would actually take you to that spot on the map automatically, which is a fairly easy function. I mean, it's a real easy function. It's just a matter of modifying the code just a little bit. So you can embed it into the program that you want to, fire it back out. And here's the code right here. The only part of it that changes is this portion here. Whatever the field name is, whatever the parcel, or whatever the layer's name is, the field name, whatever the character is you want to search by, whatever the text is. And so you can have that created by any program on the fly to bring up this URL fairly easily. Okay, any other questions?
So this is actually reading a static picture of a layer, not an actual layer?
No.
Or shapefile?
No.
It is reading a shapefile.
the program that's installed on the computer, the host computer, is actively reading the layer live. Now, it's posting out a picture to whoever is asking for the information. Now, this right here is a picture. And I can just say, but the computer that's generating the picture is actually reading the GIS information live.
Okay.
And that's another safeguard is the user, all they're getting is pictures. They're just getting snapshots from the computer that's actually doing the work. So at no time do they have access to your data. So they can go in and do anything with it. All they're getting is a picture.
And you said that OU hosts your personal shapefile?
No.
Okay.
They host
have to go to the county to get that?
Yes. Okay. Yes.
Do all the counties use it? Or
no.
Are some of them behind?
It's not a matter of being behind, it's a matter of whether I can get out there to them or not. Travel has been a concern. The counties that are a little bit more well-to-do, like Oklahoma and Cleveland, they've had their own system for a while now. It's usually built on top of ArcIMS or another Ezra directive. This is aimed for the counties that have trouble making sure there's gas in the tank to go out and look at their properties.
So how many counties are you supporting with this?
Currently, there's about 24 that are installed. Some Ames counties, some Arkview counties. Yeah, here's the old standby that OU's had for quite a while. And of course, I don't even pretend to have all the layers that they've got on here for good reason. That would be just an exhaustive list. But what we have is working. And it's a free way to still allow the counties to see the new aerial photos on their own computers instead of having to traipse back into the mapping room or to computer X that may be over there in the corner or something. That's more or less the intent, just to give everyone the ability to pull up the mapping upon demand inside their office. And they can share it with other offices if their servers are set up in a way that they can see each other. McLean County, the county treasurer actually has access to this, has it on her workstation. Again, it's just a mapping routine at that point. Can they find the computer that's hosting it? If they can, you can pull it up. And that's it, unless there's any other questions.
John, do you have to do all the updating for all these computers that it's installed on, or train them on? Like, can we get new orthos or they update that Parsons shapefile? Do you also train them on how to update to the base data, or do you have to go and service all those 27 counties?
Quite honestly, in most cases, we give the counties a new DVD, or in this case, this next year it would have to be two DVDs for half of them. Between that and the scan townships are catching from Bureau of Land Management. Surveys. In most cases, the assessor's office, they receive the DVD, they look at it, they store it away, and then they holler. And so I have to talk them through loading the data anyways. One thing that we're doing more and more of now is remote assistance. And with these text files, it takes no time at all to tweak the text file. I mean, you can tweak a county in just a couple of minutes if you know what you're doing. Actually, McIntosh County, we went from the old version of the browser to the new version, which meant a lot of JavaScript and a lot of intensive stuff. We were able to do that remotely within a couple of hours. So the remote assistance capabilities have been tremendously helpful in helping us help the counties.
All right.
Mike?
You're using shapefile as your kind of format for everyone, so your MIMS, you're converting that into a
shapefile. Yes.
And do you do that on the fly, or do you build that nightly, generating a new shapefile as it updates the database? Or?
Most of the MIMS counties are the more rural counties, well, more or less. The ones that haven't paid for the MIMS manufacturer's conversion program themselves, generally only have a few splits a week or a month. So there may not be any need to change or update it, but maybe once a quarter or once a week or once a month. Whatever the case is, we do a batch routine at that point.
In some counties where they might be doing a lot of splits, you can have a more frequent update on this cycle that you're doing.
Well, for them, such as Grady County or even Kate County, they're actually doing all their mapping in MIMS, but they're doing a lot of their analysis with ArcView. So they like that gee whiz factor, even Comanche County. The conversion program that the manufacturer of MIMS has created can be embedded into a batch routine, so you can just double click on an icon, wait a couple minutes, and it's done. So that's generally the approach for those counties, is at the end of the day, just double click on it, let it run, and it's done.
Any other questions for Troy? So I'll go to it. All right. Well, thank you very much.
SCOG, our conference is coming up September 20th through the 23rd. The main big day is the 21st. If you want some training classes or any of the workshops, we've already had several of them fill up. The ArcGIS 10 imagery, we still have one seat open on that one. The GISP certification, we still have seven open on that one. Silverlight training with Esri is four seats open, and ArcGIS with Pamela over here is two seats open. Registration is $80 for standard, $50 for students, and we're looking right now like we have, I think, 225 people already signed up and about 20 vendors, so supposed to be a really good year. So go check it out, scog.org. If you have any questions, holler at Shelley or me or Stacia or Pam, or there's several of the board members in here. Cliff.
Thanks, Charles.
Where's the conference at? Sorry.
What?
Where's the conference?
We're Norman Tech Center in Oklahoma City.
Other activities we need to bring to the forefront
here? We're just wanted to ask, on November 9th, we're having a free day-long seminar on ArcGIS 10 productivity tools and kind of showing you what's new. And so it's going to be a full-day seminar. It's going to be lunch or some breakfast and snacks in the morning. And Freedom, where's that going to be held at the station?
Renaissance Hotel.
Is it going to be in the hotel or is it going to be at the Marriott? last time when I went, he said the Renaissance Hotel, which is, that's not here.
Pretty sure
it's in the
hotel.
Yeah, it's in the hotel.
I went to that. You want to repeat those dates, Michael?
No. November 9th, yeah. 9 o'clock to roughly around 3 o'clock. Be some time for questions and answers. And lunch should be served around 12 o'clock. I'm not sure. I don't know about the park over there, so anyone familiar with that area?
There's a parking garage
that is connected. You can just take the Skyway.
Okay.
It's multi-level, whatever that street is that runs.
And registration is open. I guess I can send the link out if you want me to the group.
Okay, next meeting. Don't plan to have a meeting in October. But we are planning to have a meeting in November 5th, and State CIO, Mr. Alex Pettit, as I mentioned, will be here to speak for the show. So, looking forward to that. Invite your supervisors. Bring an extra chair. My boss.
Is there any way you can send something out pretty early about that so we can get that on supervisors' calendars?
We'll put it out there tomorrow. All right, I guess we're done for today. Entertaining motion to roll adjourn. All right, there's a move in a second. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much. We are adjourned. Very good.